is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, April 17th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we talk about World Heritage Day. I like heritage. I like culture. I like celebrating we self. So when I had the opportunity to find out what is this heritage, what do you mean by World Heritage Day? Who and what will we be celebrating? I said, Aaron, you need to come and join me with the show. Because they could be talking about us and why we special, how we could be celebrating what we need to do. So Erin Green is going to be joining me as I speak to Miss Trish Pettigan, who's the Business Developing Officer and Sales and Marketing at Clifton Heritage National Park. I'm not sure if you know what Clifton Heritage National Park is, but it's actually the only heritage national park in the Bahamas. That means they are big. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the controversy over Clifton Heritage Park, how it came about, how we end up getting it, right? It's a big thing. And I'm not sure why Bahamians aren't celebrating it, cherishing it as it should, because this is not a little place. This place matters. But to talk about that, to talk about what is Clifton, why is it important, and also World Heritage Day, I brought on Trish Pettigan so she could explain all of that. And welcome again, Trish. How are you doing?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. So let's talk Clifton. It all the way out there in Adelaide-ish, right? Clifton and Adelaide, two different places, right? But it has history. It's important to the Bahamas. But I before we start delving into World Heritage Day, right, I want to know, why is Clifton so special? Why should Bahamian people be emotioned to talk about Clifton, to celebrate Clifton, to travel all the way out there and experience it?
Well, like you said earlier, Clifton is the only national heritage park that we have here in the Bahamas. And it's one of the only areas where we preserve the history of three civilizations that lived here in the Bahamas. Of course, you know, we talk about the Arawakans, but we never really talk in depth about the different subcultures of the Arawaks, which were the Lucayans, and then the Tainos. And then we talk about the Europeans, but we don't really talk about how the European culture truly influenced what we now know as Bahamian culture. And then we go into the African culture, and then we speak about how those different tribes of the African cultures affect what we now know again as Bahamian culture.
And I smile when you say that, right? Because definitely it's a culmination of mainly two cultures, and that's European culture and African culture fusing, right? Mm-hmm. And in the Bahamas, I find that we tend to be polarized and say, well, this is a dominant culture. Or this other thing is the dominant culture, when there is definitely a fusion. And I believe that we need to appreciate exactly what that fusion is. But Clifton has three ethnic groups. Mm-hmm. I think Perry Christie used that word. Three different ethnic groups fused together, right? And I have visited Clifton. I see the slave plantation, and I get emotion when I say, my God, my ancestors live inside here. Mm-hmm. I see the big house across the street and say, oh, this is where the boss would have lived. I hear the story of Clifton where he was the only plantation owner to say, hey, I'm going to make sure that the enslaved Africans have better conditions. In fact, I think he even got locked up for it, mm-hmm. right? And he was a speaker of the house, and people got incensed and said, why are you giving these Africans so much? They don't deserve anything.
He was actually the first attorney general.
Okay, go ahead.
He was actually the first attorney general. His name was William Wiley. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing about Clifton is a lot of people usually drive out there on their Sunday drives, right?
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Sunday we go get some ice cream, put some gas in the car, and you just drive to enjoy the island. But when people see Clifton, they only see these houses from the outside,
mm-hmm.
and they don't really understand what that is or why it is. So the idea of those houses that you see now, they were basically the beginning of what we now know as our building codes. Because if you think about it, from the Lucayans, they actually build their houses on the seashore lines of the island.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever hurricanes would come, it would destroy their houses,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's when they started to construct houses to withstand hurricane force winds. And that is where we had the construction or the development of mortar, stone, and mortar houses, which is uniquely created. Listen to me. Our people are some innovative, intelligent people from way back when.
Mm-hmm.
They actually took conch shells,
mm-hmm.
crushed them, burned them for 2 to 3 days, add sand and water. And that is what created the mortar that, or the cement that now hold together government house, the House of Parliament, House of Assembly, all those stone buildings, many stone buildings in Kiat Island. So these are a huge part.
It's special.
Very, very, very special.
And I see even United States Herald, they say that these conch houses are special and that they got their hurricane structures in terms of code
mm-hmm.
from the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And we fail to even recognize that. But say I want to know about this. I want to know how that Bahamian history, how the importance of Clifton, where do I go? How do I go about it to get to know that knowledge? Because I know that the Awaks lived out there. I know that the Africans stayed there. But I want to know the history of Clifton. How do I go about that?
Well, of course, you know, you could always go to our website and book a tour. That's www.tourclifton.com. And on our website, you'll be able to see all the different attributes of which Clifton has to offer. Because, of course, it is an historical site, which we're here to talk about today, which is the UNESCO World Heritage Site. However, we also have, and this is a little secret, but we have about 4 private beaches within Clifton. We also have one of the world's largest underwater snorkel gardens called the Ocean Atlas at Clifton.
Nice. But let's talk about the sites. You mentioned the snorkel garden. And I know, one, Antonius Roberts have something out there. I know that...
Andre John worked
John,
on one
yes,
of the
I was trying to remember his name.
Yeah.
I have some kind of sunken big monument type thing.
Yeah, so he worked on, there's like a massive face
mm-hmm.
that sits looking up from the bottom of the ocean.
Tell me more about that. Yes.
Yeah, so that's what we were just talking about. That's actually called the Ocean Atlas. It's
uh-huh.
a sight to be seen. And it speaks wonders to us as Bahamians that we do not take advantage of things that were put here for us. Because we have tourists, like literally, I hate to use the word tourists, but we call it what it is, right? We have guests, international guests, that has come as far as Norway, here to the Bahamas, just to snorkel in our snorkel garden. And if you count the amount of Bahamians that's taken advantage of this, you literally could almost count on 2 hands.
Let me ask you a question. When I go out there, I could rent snorkel gear?
You can. And it comes with your... You can either do a self-guided tour, or I recommend that you do it with our tour guides, which are certified. And when you rent your snorkel gear, it comes with your mask, your snorkel, your fins, and of course your flotation device. So you don't necessarily have to be... an Olympic swimmer to make it there.
You're not going to have Dory and Nemo out there touring me, guiding me through the sculpture, right?
No, but there's the cool thing about this, right?
Yeah.
The cool thing about this is, again, it's a very diverse ecosystem down there.
So I'm going to interact with fish and things.
There's a lot of fish, and that was the idea of actually putting the snorkel garden there, because the whole idea of that was to grow algae to promote fish population. Because,
right.
you know, in Nassau, we have about 400 million people who live here,
yeah.
and everybody won't throw a line out.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, because the island is so small, it was said that the populations of the fish were starting to decrease dramatically. So as a result, what they did was they actually put the snorkel garden there to grow algae, and that was promoted.
Encourage more fish.
Yeah, more fish to come in.
Oh, this is awesome.
Yeah. So I just want to go and basically a small recap. You have the Amerindians, the Awaktinos, Lucayans. What story is being told at Clifton about the Lucayan Indians? I know we're still lobbying to have this part of the Atlantic Ocean named the Lucayan Sea to pay homage to them. But what type of homage is done to the Arawaks at Clifton, or for the Arawaks at Clifton?
Well, as a part of the heritage experience, which that is, of course, a part of, we have two separate areas that's specifically dedicated to the Lucayans. One is called the Banana Hole, right? So the same way how churches are sacred to Christians or mosques are sacred to Muslims, the Banana Hole would have been considered a sacred space for the Lucayans. So they would have held something called a Cohiba ceremony at that particular Banana Hole. Have you ever heard of a Cohiba ceremony before?
I mean, that's what they do. That's what they do at the bar around the corner.
Yeah.
But tobacco is natural. Like, we think about cigarettes are bad, but tobacco, indigenous to these parts, I think.
Yeah, but
naturally occurring.
Here's a fun fact about that, right? And I love fun facts in history. Tobacco is actually a Lucayan word, but it does not mean the plant. Tobacco is actually the pipe that was used to partake in the Cohiba.
So the Cohiba is the...
Exactly. So the Cohiba would be crushed into like a powder, right? And then they would put the Cohiba into a tobacco, and then they would partake in the tobacco and have an euphoric experience.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Euphoric experience. We don't use tobacco for euphoric experience anymore. We use something else. You're trying to pass that law now.
No, we do use tobacco as a euphoric experience.
Yeah?
I need you. In fact, I need you to hang out with someone who ain't smoked a cigarette in 48 hours.
When
they have that first cigarette, buddy, trust me, that is euphoria.
I understand. So I go to Clifton, just like you said, on that Sunday drive, especially on holidays, right? Mm-hmm. And I've taken the tour. I've taken the child there, and we pick cotton just to get a sense of self. I give that tour and explain to them that our ancestors used to do this, fought to do this. Mm-hmm. I need you to appreciate that. This is a sacred spot. There also is a sacred spot. They're called sacred place.
Sacred space, yeah.
Right? What is that exactly?
So the sacred space, like Aaron said earlier, was actually the creation of Antonius Roberts, who is a Bahamian artist, right? And it depicts the African women that once lived at the plantation. Now, I know it's saying that there were many people who lived at the plantation, men and women. Why choose women? Because we live in a matrifoli community based on our history. You know, it wasn't our fault that we pushed all the men out. That was a part of what happened during the era of being enslaved, right? Mm-hmm. So the women then became the backbone, as again down in history, the women became the matriarchs of the family. So he just wanted to pay homage to a lot of those women that lived at the plantation.
Mm-hmm. And then we see that, like, we see history sort of repeating itself, right? Mm-hmm. Cyclical. We look at the contracts where men went out, left the country, left the family to go work, and women were, because of their absence, required to take up these roles and responsibilities in the home, in the community, right? It's not we just hate men, but there are external social factors, sometimes environmental factors, that cause these things to happen.
Also, I would like to know, does the Clifton, the heritage spot, give history of any of the buildings? Because my stepfather, I call him out, Bernard Colebrook, he was born out Clifton. When I say born out Clifton, he was born in one shack out Clifton. He remembers attending preschool or all-age school out Clifton. And they used one of the, what do you call it, huts?
Mm-hmm.
The houses, slave houses, as the school itself, right? And I just want to know, is that narrative also is included in the general narrative that people post-slavery, right, used to still use or occupy these spaces?
Actually, yes, because we actually do teach that Clifton remained a working farm up until the 1950s, 1960s. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge part of the history that we try to include. But what we try to highlight, I would say, is the significance of why it's important to protect those buildings. Because I don't know if you realize, because, you know, I'm maybe just a day or two younger than you, but when I was younger, I remember that there used to be houses on both sides of the street.
Yes.
And those other houses are no longer there. So over the time, and again, this is why UNESCO is so important with protecting these World Heritage Sites. Because UNESCO actually protects heritage sites against any type of armed conflicts, economic stresses, any kind of natural disasters, anything of that sort. Mm-hmm. So the importance of this is, you know, again, it's not always human error that, like, intentional destruction that destroys these things. Remember, these houses are over 200 years old. So over the time, you have hurricanes, you have the different trees that grow in our Corpus Forest.
Right, we have tornadic activity now, and we're experiencing more and more the effects of earthquakes in the region. Mm-hmm. You know?
Because of climate change. Mm-hmm. So climate change has a huge part to play in the destruction of many monuments around the world, actually. There was a site originally, if I can remember, it was in Africa. It was Amudad, I believe, his tomb. Anyway, the statues in that area in Africa, they was because of the dredging, over-dredging in the Nile, they were starting to literally collapse. Mm. So what UNESCO did was they went in and they actually had those statues moved to higher ground where they could be protected. Mm-hmm. And after doing that, they realized that, hey, there may be other sites around the world that may need the same kind of correction and, you know, the same type of protection. So that is when UNESCO Task Force went to work.
So let's talk about UNESCO and the task force. How did UNESCO come in, or what work did they do here in the Bahamas?
Well, that's the thing. UNESCO around the world initially, right, after World War II, right? UNESCO realized that there were a lot of heritage sites that were damaged by armed conflicts. And again, by intentional destruction. So what they did was they got together in this first treaty and they said, okay, as a world, as a group, as a team, we're going to protect these sites away from anything. So in the event that there's a world war or there's a natural disaster, or there's anything that could damage these particular structures, we have to find a way to protect them. Whether it's a monument, it could be books, it could be art, it could be anything that's culturally important to that particular country.
You also mentioned that Clifton Heritage is the only
National Park in the Bahamas.
But there are sites in Cat Island, Andrus, Acklands.
Right. So is they're protected. Is there a distinction between a site and a park, or is the park just one of the sites?
Hmm. Yes. So the park is actually just one of the sites. There are many protected sites in the Bahamas, such as the lighthouses. Anything, again, like I said, that's historically or culturally important to a specific set of people. And here's how this happened. It's a very unique process to getting a heritage site notified, right? So what they do is the country itself, they nominate the site. So they will say, hey, we have this particular site. It's such and such amount of years old. It serves this significant purpose. We want to nominate this to be protected under UNESCO, right? Mm-hmm. And UNESCO would send their specialists out to that particular site who would do all the archaeologies and anthropology discoveries and forensics and all that stuff. And they would say, hey, yes, this is a site that needs to be protected. And then once their decision comes back and they decide that unanimously that this is a site that needs to be protected, then it's added to the UNESCO World Heritage Site.
All right. So Preacher's Cave. Mm-hmm. Clifton is a heritage site. What about Preacher's Cave?
I believe Preacher's Cave is a heritage site. Mm-hmm.
But not a park.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Which it should be a park because seeing that we name dropping, my dad used to be a part of the local government down in North Eleuthera. You know, we is true Eleuthera blood people. Mm-hmm. He's real Pelicans.
I'm Eleutheran by mosquito sharing of the blood.
So my dad being the local government down in North Eleuthera. It was many times growing up, I literally loved playing in Preacher's Cave, always went to the beach in the back of Devil's Backbone, and then I always used to wander through the bush. Mm-hmm. So while we used to, you know, small playing through the bush, there was a blue hole there that nobody knew was there.
Nice.
And now, he's passed on 3 years ago, so it was about maybe 4 years ago, they actually had the blue hole area opened up for guests to come in. They built a bridge around it. They built a jump, the platform for you to jump off and the ladder to come back up out the blue hole. And it was a lovely sight to see, again, international guests enjoying something that is one of our world wonders.
Mm-hmm. I pulled up this article while we were talking, and it was, so it lists Inagua National Park and historic lighthouses on the tentative list to be added, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the article says here are five areas in the Bahamas that should be on the heritage list, right? Mm-hmm. And they list Andrus and the Blue Holes National Park and Barrier Reef. And it says there are 50 ocean blue holes and 170 inland blue holes in Andrus.
What?
And among the 40,000 acres of the Blue Holes National Park.
I did not know that.
I knew it. I mean, I knew it in my heart. I knew
it
was possible.
I only know about Dean's Blue Hole, you know.
I only know about the Chicchani coloring ceremony Blue Hole. That's where the Chicchani origin story, that's where it happened.
In Andrus.
Yeah. In Andrus at the Blue Hole. And there are 170. You can't.
So you
tell
didn't
me.
Make that up? What, the Chicchani origin story, the Blue Hole?
No,
I didn't make that up.
That's a real thing.
That was told to me.
That's a part of our folk. See, let's go back to culture and us knowing who we are as a people. You have to remember, back then we used to have these shamans in our community, in the African community, who used to keep the story, and they used to tell these folks these folklore stories. Today, a lot of young people never even hear about the Chicchani. And as a part of our school heritage tours that we do at Clifton, because we do invite schools to come down and be a part of it, we do something that's called storytelling, where we talk about the Chicchani and Anansi and Baruki and Barabi.
You all have Princess Pratt, the premier Bahamian storyteller?
No, they have an original called Trish.
Oh, so
look here.
There you go.
Trish and Princess Pratt. Look, I have to have you all on our show to storytell.
Yes. I have a text here that said, I'm a taxi driver and this sounds amazing. Yeah, definitely, it is amazing.
Right, so taxi drivers, tour operators, Airbnb hosts, right, that provide options for experiences for their guests, Bahamian parents and older cousins that got to find something for children to do.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk to them about what they can do tomorrow. Is there any activity going on
tomorrow?
And for the rest of the year at Clifton.
But let's get this caller and then let's talk about what's happening tomorrow. Caller, can you hear me? Caller, go and went.
Hi, hello.
Hi.
Can I get the printing section, please?
Okay, I'll let you get back to the switchboard and the printing section.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
You're
on the air, but thank you very much for calling.
Live on the air.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Listen, let me ask you a question since I have you on the air, right?
Okay.
Can you name a World Heritage site in the Bahamas?
Is that Clifton Fair?
Yeah, Clifton. Clifton Heritage Park. You got it.
Now I gotta give her a prize.
Listen,
okay. So while you're getting transferred,
leave your name and your number with the producer.
And I shall leave you something at the front desk.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Easy that was.
Thank you for calling.
That was easy.
Producer, get the number for us, please.
Okay.
All right.
But something big is happening tomorrow.
Yes.
What is happening tomorrow that is so big?
And do the Chicchanis know about it?
Well, hopefully I want everyone to know about it. Tomorrow we are celebrating World Heritage Day at Clifton. Woo! That's my own sound effects.
So what does that mean, though?
So what that means is that every year UNESCO sets aside a date where we celebrate and we talk about the preservation of these cultural areas and the importance of doing it. But we kind of do it a little special down at Clifton because we try to do a ceremony where we have people come out, we talk about it, and then we allow persons to go around the sites and see exactly what it is that we're here talking about.
You know, you got to go more in detail, right? When you say we allow people to see, explain that process. I am here now. I'm coming out to your event. What is it that I need to do?
Okay, first of all, you have to wear comfortable shoes.
And I think wear light but long-sleeved and long pants because it's mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Mosquitoes is coming on Sunday. I don't know. I never get bite mosquitoes.
I mean, a little mosquito repellent.
Use a little Chicchani, that's
but
right.
But I dark-skinned. Mosquitoes can't see me.
Mosquitoes like black, though.
Yes, they do like
black. Sandflies like white. Mosquitoes like black.
Yes, you are right. You are right.
Clothing, that is.
Yes, I understand.
This is just...
Once you try black.
Yeah.
Yes, you don't... Yeah.
You don't go back.
Go finish. Go ahead. Go, Miss Pedica. Go ahead. Trish, go ahead.
So, first, you want to wear comfortable shoes. And, of course, like Erin said, you definitely want to wear, be protected for the weather.
Yeah.
Don't forget your swimsuit. If you're coming to Clifton, please do not come without your swimsuit. You're defeating the purpose.
Erin, we going to Clifton? I want to see you in a bathing suit.
Listen, I wear the traditional standard Bahamian heritage cultural bathing suit,
that's
which is
pants,
shorts and a t-shirt.
No.
Tell how that works.
No, man, you got to be in a swimsuit.
I got to be prepared in case a shark try to bite me because I'm not allowed to kill the shark. But I got to be in my athletic gear.
Be able to run on top of the water.
You know, man.
Go ahead, Trish.
Yeah, so definitely recommend that you bring insect repellent if it's something that you're sensitive to.
Yeah.
But we do sell name products in our gift store. We have a fully stocked gift shop there that can assist you with sunscreen and all that
and
great
listen,
stuff.
This is called heritage and culture because
yes.
Before there was fancy pharmacy mosquito repellent,
mm-hmm.
You had to rely on what was around you. And you were grateful because everything you needed, the earth provided it.
Correct.
Neem, citronella, lavender, broadleaf thyme, all of these things repel the mosquito.
Yeah, man. And shout out to Abaco Name, by the way, because I actually do like their products.
Yeah.
And the natural products, like I say, we try to partner with our Bahamian vendors to assist us with products in our gift store. So we try to do everything Bahamian down there.
Yeah, the bitterer, the betterer.
Gift store sound packed with all kinds of things to buy. But again, finish your family with
all
nice expect.
Things.
With all
yeah,
expect.
So tomorrow, like I said, once you come out, our ceremony starts at 11 o'clock. 11 a.m. is when we have our ceremony. We're going to have the Defense Force down there. We're going to have the Rangers. It's going to be a full shebang out. And then afterwards, the ceremony is over, we'll have some light refreshments. You know, you can't have eats and drinks, so they'll... Well, you can't have a ceremony without little eats and drinks.
I know the PLP in power, so we know there can be some nice food out there. You know I come in. I like free things.
But listen, I can need a ride. I can't hop
I can,
that
we
far.
Can, we can, after the show, because we know we can finish at 12, we can just drive out there and take it back. Because I know if Mr. David can be there, there can be some good food.
Oh.
And two meats.
Will there be an official ceremony?
Yes, there will be an official ceremony.
This could be a big thing.
An official ceremony tomorrow, starting at 11 o'clock. And then after the ceremony is over, having refreshments. And you guys, again, everyone will get an opportunity to gaze around the
park.
The park.
Okay.
To see all these different things that we just spoke about today.
Look here. This is awesome.
So there'll be tours happening out there tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yes.
So,
okay.
So listen, World Heritage Day is also known as International Day for Monuments and Sites, right?
Mm-hmm.
Outside of tomorrow's programming, is there any activities going on that we could tie into? Like, I come from a historic community,
mm-hmm.
right? I come from Johnson Road.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnson Road is called Johnson Road because the Johnsons live there and own up everything there, mm-hmm. right? So it's now... Right? Johnson Road. It's also historic because of the road is one, I think, maybe one of the oldest roads, but I love it. The road is so old, it was made when we were using donkeys.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnson Road is one of the curviest roads, has the most curves. And they say they did that because a donkey is smart. And if a donkey sees the house, your house in the distance, he know you could walk, so he stopped. Like, you be there, you close.
You reach.
So he stopped, so they say they build the roads with curve, so the donkey will keep going, you know, until you tell it to stop.
That's interesting.
But I got a statue of Black Bear in my community, right? And all the roads were named after pirates and pirate words. Like,
really? I did not know
Cheech Street, Treasure Lane, all them things.
Ah.
And so, is there an opportunity for me to enter my community for the short list for World Heritage Sites?
Yes. Especially Fox Hill. Especially Fox Hill, Gambell.
She talking about you now.
You talk
about
me. Yes.
Yeah.
Fox Hill, Gambell, being in Grantstown, Carmichael. Mm-hmm. These are areas, Adelaide,
mm-hmm.
Mount Pleasant.
Yeah.
These are areas, and even Albany, certain parts of Albany.
Yeah.
Are certain areas that should have been added that
to the heritage
site.
And not
especially Fox Hill.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't even know that long road with all the big trees on. That used to be a toll road.
You got to pay. Oh, yeah, the man owned it, eh?
And you had to pay toll to go on that road.
Property, yeah.
Wow.
And that story needs to be told, too.
Right. And like in my community, I'm certain that there were a lot of indigenous people living around there or using that space because proximity to the water.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fascinating. The potential of what you could find in your history going back in these places you think are just, it's a regular place. Man, I live right here. Right here is extremely special.
Mm-hmm. And sacred. Yeah. I see we have another caller here. So as we go in detail with Trish Pedekin from Clifton Heritage, and she's talking about World Heritage Day and the events that are happening there. But go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, CA, I had to call you all back on heritage. You got Red Bay Zandris. The Lightfoot.
Mm-hmm.
Lightfoot ain't no English name. Lightfoot is an Indian name.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. You got Current Eleuther with high cheekbone and long, straight black hair,
mm-hmm.
like Cher, Indian. And you have, my favorite, Cherokee Sound, Abaco. You think that was by accident, eh? So there were many people here before Columbus and before the Spaniard, the mulattoes that came and basically did some things here in the name of God that weren't godly.
And then there were the Africans that came to the Americas long before.
Yeah.
And the European and African soldier men rounded up the indigenous Native American and marched them and killed 6,000 on the march and put them on a reservation. How'd they get reparations? Because they own all the waterfront from Maine, Martha's Vineyard, straight down to the Florida Keys.
My grand.
Now that's some serious reparations.
Graham, you raised a wonderful point. I mean, thank you mm-hmm. very much. The Saltwater Railroad, right? We know that people would have escaped enslavement in North America,
mm-hmm.
Traveling sometimes through the Bahamas to get to the rest of the Caribbean, and then sometimes down through Mexico, right? Which is a slightly different railroad.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any salt water railroad sites that have been considered for recognition as a World Heritage Site and in the Bahamas?
Not particularly, but the archaeologists, I do remember there was a point of a study where they spoke about runaways,
mm-hmm.
particularly hiding and being in Grantstown, because being in Grantstown and Carmichael were free villages, especially Carmichael.
Remember, there was a presentation,
mm-hmm.
I think in January, at the Historical Society on runaway slaves in urban New Providence.
Yes, mm-hmm. urban New Providence.
Right, right,
yes.
right. But, you know, I think, okay, this is fascinating. Thank you, Graham, because we know that indigenous people and Africans would have escaped enslavement in the U.S.
Yes.
and made their way south, which is out
in the late 1800s, yeah.
Right.
And that's where you have like the Bowlegs, like the Olivers, all of them are descended from Black Seminoles.
Right. Let me stick a pin right here, guys. I have to say this. Dear Ministry of Education, we're going to need y'all to revamp how you teach history in this country. Okay? Because the history in this country is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just entertaining. It's the thing of television shows. Yeah. But if we continue to teach it in the same way where it's just mundane and here are the Europeans and you was an African. Right. We got to get creative. You think you got a lack of attention from students in school? You do this history course correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You get them excited about what this place is and what it means to the rest of the world because of the way that our culture and heritage evolved and impacted. You're going to start retaining these students again, man. Mm-hmm. This is fascinating.
Well, that's the thing. We actually do have our education program. Shout out to Ms. Duncombe, Kanika Duncombe, who is our education officer.
Mm-hmm.
She has put together, listen to me, this program is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And this is her 2.0 version. So what we do is full regalia, full costumes for the children.
Nice. You get full time costume.
Periods.
At Clifton.
At Clifton. For the children, they're doing full regalia time period pieces, costumes, and they get to participate. So they would see the Lucayans making pepper pot.
Listen, hold on. Ministry of Tourism, I need you to bring your budget over here for a minute.
But anyway, we have a caller. Because I have me stuttering now. Caller, can you hear me?
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning.
Good morning to your guests. This is great information. Who was with you said that they needed to think how they think history? That was Aaron.
Yeah,
you're correct. But Aaron, I just wanted to corroborate and really give power to what this lady's saying.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, most of the slaves were already familiar. Are you guys familiar with the Fugitive Slave Bill?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right, so that was that would show you how systemic slavery was. That was a bill enacted by their Congress in which we know that wherever the slave was caught within the continental U.S., he could be brought back to Massa. So obviously the slaves, they got information, they knew that they would be safe in Florida because it is known that they friended and the Seminoles, right, who were the undefeated tribe, never surrendered to the British, I mean to the Continental Army or the British, right? And so they lived within the Seminole Society where it was a feudal system, and some of them made their way here to the Bahamas, and this is a known fact. So that is logical in the sense that the far-reaching powers, they could escape in New York or wherever and then still be brought back from Florida. So that is quite logical, and, and that's exactly what happened. Bless.
Thank you very much. Let's talk open house. I know that a number of National Trust retreats are having open house this week. I think it's even Saturday, where...
it's National... So this week, Saturday, is National Parks Day.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is Heritage, which is two different parallel things.
Yeah.
But do you all have open house at all in general that people can come and pass by and say, hey, this is what we offer? At least this is open house coming Saturday.
Yeah, so actually tomorrow is our open house day.
Okay.
That's the day when everyone will be allowed to come into the park.
Free?
Free.
So tomorrow, if you've never been to Clifton. It's the free day. It's the free day.
My favorite word.
I like free.
Yeah.
And plus they have treats.
Give me free.
Tinks. We get tinks.
Tinks to give away.
Free and tinks.
Free and tinks.
When you put them together, it's magic.
Yeah.
Free tinks.
Yeah. And listen, we understand why people are tingsy. Because you need tings to function in this world.
Especially when you have a financial secretary saying they only make a little bit of money.
Okay, so like a quick question.
Go ahead.
What not to bring to the park? Like, what are the things that you shouldn't bring to the park? And what's the culture? Right, you're talking culture. Mm-hmm. What's your culture at the park? Because sometimes we just forget. You know, we go to the beach. There are no bins. We leave the garbage there. Because we don't have any space in our car. And trust me, when you get seven people pile up in your car because everybody trying to go to the beach because the bus don't run on a holiday, that has happened, right? The do's and don'ts for the park.
Do's and don'ts, all right.
Particularly for tomorrow, too.
Yeah,
for tomorrow. Yeah. Do's. Come all. That's the do's.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
like come hungry. You're going to have food. Like, I know you're going to have refreshments, right? But is there like a kitchen when I go for the day? Can I buy lunch out there?
More shout out to Ms. Cox and her team. Ms. Cox, she is our events manager and park operations personnel. So she takes care of all that. So we do have our service kitchen that's open. We also have snacks and refreshments in our gift store. Like I said, that would be on sale. But we do have some refreshments that we will be giving to the public.
And what's her name
tomorrow.
Again?
Her name is Miss Cox, Cynthia Cox.
Miss Cynthia Cox, watch this. I have a charge for you. We can wake it out. When I went to the Indigenous Peoples Museum in D.C., in Washington, D.C., the cafeteria there was segmented and you could go to a region and they would prepare the food that people ate traditionally in that region.
Nice.
Ms. Cox, we got to have a special event where you prepare food that the indigenous people would have eaten
like pepper pot and like sauce. No?
That's our emancipation event.
Listen, that's an old
sauce is English. Sauce is English.
So yeah, we ain't talking about that. We talk about maybe like roast plantain and how we would eat coconut and things like
roast
that.
Roast breadfruit.
Right, but let's get whatever the indigenous people who were here were eating at that time. It's like one day a month.
Fun fact.
Yeah, yeah.
They used to eat hutea.
That's a rodent thing.
That's a native rat in the Bahamas. Huteas.
I see why you became a Chicchana.
And iguana. Yeah. They eat iguana too.
That's Auckland's people. You're supposed to know that.
No, I know.
You never eat a hutea?
I ain't been to Auckland.
What about hush hush? Never eat hush hush?
No, no.
No hush hush either?
I mean, why would I tell you?
No iguana?
No, no. I wasn't fast enough to catch one. Like, I have a rule. If I can eat it, I gotta be fast enough to catch it myself. Eight. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I never had iguana.
That's why I only eat lionfish, because they don't really swim. They just chill out.
Chill out. But I want to ask this question, because you mentioned food and the cafeteria and stuff like that. If I come in there as a group, if I come in there as a group, right, for a tour, there are food there for me to purchase?
Okay, so as a group, we have an option, because, again, we prepare for such a large number, we always ask that reservation be in at least 48 hours in advance and prepaid so that we could be proper service, so that we could provide the proper service.
And I Yeah, food, food.
Yeah. So, again, Miss Cox, shout out to her. She is literally, I don't know, Miss Cox is an angel in disguise because I don't know how she's made miracles happen.
She have a big pot?
She have pots and pans and everything in between.
But if she have a pot big enough to put Cecil Nuri in, I with her. You could do magic in that pot.
I can imagine.
You all have an outdoor oven out there, a stone oven?
In the slave village, we do.
There's a slave village. Oh, yes, I see. I was just going to say, what do you mean by slave village?
Yeah, in the slave village.
I'm understanding. I'm understanding. Seeing it.
And remember, again, they do like reenactments, right?
Full costume,
full period pieces.
But that's for the schools, though. So to book that one, you have to book through the school tour because that's a part that is actually curriculum structured.
I got you. Okay, but listen, nice. I mean, you discriminating against old people, but that's cool. I could book the school tour as a group of adults and do that.
I mean, why not?
I'd be that, I don't.
If not, why not? Mm. You know, I feel like each one teaches one and you never to learn to, never too old to learn something.
Also, at the Heritage, Clifton Heritage, there are a number of fruit trees there, like tamarind and I see banana trees, like you mentioned before. Is there any kind of interactive picking where I say, hey, like, why is a climb this dilly tree?
Like a pick and pay, I pay $10 and I can get dilly two available, buckets or you know? Something like that?
I mean, it is a national park. So we don't really encourage people to take things out of the national park.
What if I eat the fruit while I'm there?
I mean, I don't know.
Like, okay, the answer is no.
If you could find one ripe dilly, I wouldn't stop you. But there's rules that may kind of frown upon that. But
I get you.
No, yeah. I wouldn't climb the tree.
Yeah, if it's hanging and it's ripe, why not? That's only one. But what we don't want to do is we don't want to encourage people to come into the national park and remove things from the national park.
I understand.
Absolutely. I mean, and this is very important, right? Because like, there are a number of trees that people are like, oh, I want a piece of that.
Yeah.
But you cannot take the risk of destroying the plant at the Heritage Park so that you could have something.
Now, we have like 100,000 pigeon plum trees. And Miss Pratt, who is one of our hair tour guides, she love them. Mm-hmm. I've been there for almost 10 years, never taste them. I don't know, but she love them.
The little dark berries?
Yeah, the little dark berries. And we have like 100,000 of them trees out there, literally.
Now I know.
But look here, somebody from the university told me what they used to call that when they were young, and I have not stopped laughing yet. I just can't say it on the radio. Do you have that, like, are the trees labeled with the official name and then the colloquial name and then the regional name? Because hog plum, we call hog plum in St. Croix, they call it September plum. Or somewhere else in the world, like, you know, in the Caribbean, they call it September plum.
Yeah, listen to me, the Bahamas has all kind of name. For different stuff, for instance, goat pepper. What is a goat pepper?
Now, goat pepper is a Bahamian varied habanero.
Habanero.
But it's distinct. Like it is distinct from the Scotch bonnet, and it is distinct from the habanero. But they come from it, right? Our problem is that we don't really cultivate. So a lot of Scotch bonnet and habanero or goat pepper they get
cross,
right?
Yeah.
We are Jack Crossing and don't even know.
Yeah.
Well, I have a text here, right? Who's concerned? And this text said, good morning. I used to fish in the back of Clifton, right? And I don't like how you can't fish out there anymore. Why is it that you can't fish out there in general? I guess you can explain why you're not supposed to be fishing out there.
Well, another fun fact. Clifton, that area is actually a marine protected area. Mm-hmm. So marine protected areas basically mean that you can't fish, you can't hunt, you can't drop anchors, you can't throw nets, anything of that sort that would disturb the area because it's considered a protected area for nursery purposes.
All right.
So that's the reason why we don't allow people to fish. Another reason is because when people come in there and they drop bait and then they catch fish and they spare, they tend to scent, for lack of a better word, you scent or bait the water, which brings sharks into the shore. Mm-hmm. So, because we don't want to encourage sharks coming into the shore.
Because we have people snorkeling.
Exactly, because people are snorkeling.
Let me stick a pin right there. To the people who continue to fish at Montague Beach, who go out on the fish tail, you know, the stone structures, they go out on the fish tail and they set up their line to go fishing. That's not legal. Please stop doing that. Little children who can't afford to get a taxi to PI, they go to Montague Beach to go swimming.
Mm-hmm.
That's not your place to go fishing. Okay? Sorry, thank you.
I think, no, Erin, I honestly do think it's just a lack of education on some parts. Some people just don't know because they don't think about it. They only, again, when you're not a person who consistently fishes or a person who spends a lot of time on the water, you may not understand the diversity. Remember earlier we spoke about the diverse ecosystem and the diverse groups that's within these areas. So a lot of people really do not understand that sharks are protected in the Bahamas, which means there are a lot of sharks.
Yeah.
But you don't want to encourage them coming to the shore again because of liability purposes.
Yeah, and little children need their limbs.
Also, how big is the
The park itself.
The park itself. Because I'm saying if I bring a group of 100, can we hold?
Like, could I lose my family in there? I mean, intentionally, of course.
I was just going to say, is this intentional or are we trying to find them? Well, Clifton itself, which actually sits in the center of three former plantations.
I didn't know that.
Is actually 208 acres.
What's the name of the former plantations?
And one was the Woods Plantation. That was John Woods, Louis Johnstone, and Thomas Ross. And then that later became the Wiley Plantation. So initially, what a lot of persons do not know is that basically after or even during the American Revolutionary War, right? If you know the history of the war coming from Boston and New Jersey and Pennsylvania, basically when they had the whole Boston Tea Party and then the British realized that, hey, this is a stronghold we need to pull out. We have an issues down in Florida, which is our cotton and tobacco state. Mm-hmm. We need to go down there and protect it because the Americans starting to really win territories. So they went down to the South to fight the war. And when they went down to the fight, the Americans were winning the war in the South. So they were exiling what we call these loyalists, but the Americans would call them traitors, right?
Yeah.
So they exiled these loyalists here to the Bahamas, and they gave them grants of land. Now, here's the thing, and this is just my personal opinion, and I guess there's some history to back this up, but the Bahamas, because of the predominance of limestone in the soil, was not good for long-term or consistent farming. Mm-hmm. So the plantations didn't do very well in the Bahamas or as well as they did in St. Vincent, in Grenada, in Jamaica.
With them lush mountain
exactly,
soils.
Because they had better soil and more fresh water, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that this was like some extra prime land in their back pocket where they had to find somewhere for them people to go. So it was like, here, you take this 480 acres, you take this 500 acres, you take this 300 acres, and we can call that a day for right now. Bear in mind, these people lost like 2,000 plus acres, which was in the United States, with large holdings of slaves, you know, different species or different types of crops. So when they originally came to the Bahamas, they grew things like rice, sugarcane, corn, cotton, and indigo. But when last you see someone farm indigo?
Listen. Can I learn how to farm indigo at Clifton Heritage Tour?
Well, we don't teach you how to farm it, but we talk about why it's not sustainable. Because indigo was originally cultivated by the Lugayans.
Yeah. And indigo, like, there's a blue. There's a history of it that the enslaved
dying people close.
Right, but it, like you say, it's not that sustainable.
No, it's not very sustainable.
And I just wanted to interject and then question. So all of that is being taught at Clifton? Like, again, a story and a narrative? All of this detail?
Mm-hmm. Full detail. Our tour guides are very well trained, very well versed in the history.
Yeah. So there's a narrative about Africans by itself. Then there's a narrative about Lucayans. Then there's a narrative about
the Europeans. Yes.
And I guess the narrative about the Europeans, the loyalists, and how they came here and how they survived and what they got and whatever it is.
Not only that, we also talk about the foundation of the laws that we have now, because again, a lot of people, this goes through all of it, even though we kind of stick to those three specific cultures or civilizations, we still have to talk about the in-betweens. Mm-hmm. So we talk about how do we get the laws of the Bahamas that we know now. This start from the Pirate Republic. Yes, because that's how we get the laws in the Bahamas. The Pirate Republic, which was one of the first constitution, was the basis of our constitution in the Bahamas.
And few people know that. And in terms of democracy, the pirates is more democratic than the Britain.
That's something.
They had rules.
You could imagine they had more honor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And mind you,
don't talk about my cousins like that, though. The British, you know, they need help. But
what I find entertaining is that as part of our narrative, a national narrative, you say, oh, the pirates are here and we have no honor. But the pirates back then had honor. Mm-hmm. They had rules and regulations. You do this, this will happen. You need to be honorable and honest. and mm-hmm.
In fact,
it.
When they say pirates expelled, commerce restored, mm-hmm. the commerce they were restoring was enslavement of peoples.
Yeah, can you imagine? Yeah. And we still brag, say that's a good thing.
Yeah.
As Africans. And so you have another text here that says, good morning. This conversation is fascinating. Please keep teaching us. So I just wanted to read that. Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Thank you, caller.
All right, so the most exciting thing we're going to learn when we come to Clifton, maybe you don't want to give it away. Maybe you want to give us a clue to entice us to come down there and to learn more.
Well, the number one thing when you come to Clifton, first of all, you get to see me.
Yay.
No, just kidding. But the awesome thing about coming to Clifton again is immersing yourself into the history and meeting our awesome team. Like, we have a phenomenal team. And it's a great opportunity, number one, as Bahamians. You can't know where you're going if you don't know where you come from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have two quick questions. First, is there any bus that passes there? How do I get to Clifton, or you have to have a private vehicle?
Private vehicle preferred, but there's a 12B that would take you as far as Mount Pleasant. So to get more Bahamians there, Ministry of Transport, we need a bus that comes all the way down to Clifton, because we have guests that access that all the time. Mm-hmm. We have Bahamians that try to get there, but again, there's no bus route that comes down there.
And tomorrow's event is free.
Yes,
what is
free.
The regular price for visiting Clifton if I don't come out tomorrow?
So the regular price for our tours are $60 and $50, and that's the tour.
Okay.
That's our heritage tour. And then $48.40 would be for our snorkel tour, and that's inclusive of the gear.
Well, they give you free gear, and you go to snorkel.
That's yes, like with 40, a guide.
Okay? With a guide, too.
Yes.
And I have some people asking if they want to put some authentic Bahamian merchandise in your stores. Who do they contact?
You contact Miss Cynthia Cox. Her number is 477-7092. That's 477-7092. And Aaron, earlier you spoke about Airbnbs and hotels and all those stuff. So if you are one of those persons who are looking to host an event, mm-hmm. we actually host events at Clifton too. You would contact Miss Carla Rutherford at 477-0978.
I'm excited about this. The only thing. What would top this? If you said, if I had to come to Clifton, I could buy Cersei and aloe. And then that would say, I really feel it now.
Well, let me add the icing on the cake with that one. Back to our angel in disguise, Miss Cox. She actually has a bush medicine tour.
Really? At Clifton?
At Clifton. Yeah. A tasting tour.
And tasting too.
Now listen, I know a woman. Like, you know, you get all this talk about organic Bahamian and all that foolishness. I know a woman who have to be the most Bahamian ever, because she is eat the Cersei straight from the vine.
Oh, Jesus.
She don't boil it. I mean, she may wash it, but she don't boil it. She just sit there and eat them leaf. Is that what you mean by tasting tour?
No, that don't sound healthy.
No, it's healthy, you know. It's dead healthy.
It's dead healthy.
But I can...
No. She actually brews them into a tea. So she has a number of different teas. Like, Miss Cox is so creative. She could make candle out them things. She's make all kind of stuff. Like, you have to come to Clifton and see. This is why I can never put everything we do
Ms.
into
Cox
one.
Challenge. Remember the Cosby Show, the tap dancers? Challenge, Miss Cox. This is fine. And you think it's just me. You think it's just me. I know about 17 people right now who are ready to challenge. Mm-hmm. You can imagine, we have a bush tea competition.
That'd be nice. In fact,
we have an indigenous food bush event festival, heritage festival out at Clifton.
Man, Aaron, you jumping ahead. I ain't even reached our festival yet.
Wait, you're loving the festival.
Let's quickly. I let you all the last conversation. Let's talk about this festival.
All right, so that's our emancipation. But don't forget, tomorrow is our World Heritage Day. And I just jumping a little ahead to our emancipation, again, being the only national heritage park. We have our emancipation celebration every August.
I did not know that.
Which is the big shebang. So all vendors, if you're interested, please hit up Ms. Cox. Any entertainers.
Like, what happens there?
So basically, for that day, again, the full regalia, where we dress up in time period costumes, we open up the park, you come and you do the historical tours, we sell packages for the beach, we have vendors there, we do the full cultural explosion show. So it's really interesting.
Because I know we tour in Fox Hill, I didn't know that there's something at Clifton. Because I go Adelaide too for Emancipation Day. So now you could be a part of my
story. Free emancipation events.
Yeah. So usually what it should be is you should go Fox Hill, because that's not Fox Hill Day. That's Emancipation. Yes. So you should do Fox Hill, Gambier, and then make your way to Clifton to the end. So now, that by that day, you have the full event, and then that evening, you're going to have that cultural explosion.
And then you're going to camp out because you know how long it takes you to get back across town.
Oh, we have a campsite, too.
I'm just going to ask if you have a campsite. So many things, man. So that you do have a campsite?
We do. And my MD, shout out to Mr. Bannister, Mr. Mario Scott Bannister. He is literally making life happen at Clifton for us.
Quickly tell me about the campsite. How do I do to go about that?
Call us. Just call us. 822-8127. Call me.
I need my own tent.
Just call us.
And can I bring my children? Because my children like camping.
Bring them.
Don't go without your children, A. And B, I can bring my own mosquitoes. They have a gentler species of mosquito.
A safe place where I can go camping. That's nice. I like
yes,
that.
Call right. us.
Give us the numbers to call again.
Yes. So the numbers are 822-8127. 477-7092, 477-0978, and 362-9312.
All right, email addresses, social
email
media.
Email address, Facebook, Instagram, social media. Shout out to Miguel, our social media guy. He has that on lock. Yeah, so email, send us a Facebook message, send us a message anywhere. You could send us a note title, a pigeon. We'll figure it out.
And time tomorrow for the
time
event.
Is 11 a.m. tomorrow morning.
And what all happening again?
Again, cultural, we're going to have the cultural ceremony followed by the reception, and then you move into the touring area.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm excited. We're going out there tomorrow.
Well, I can't walk away from you, so I can drive with you.
Yeah, just drive
with me. Bring a motor scooter.
Guardian Radio in the AM. Have a wonderful day.
It's Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.